Morning to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 21. The book of Genesis, chapter 21. I'd like to read verses 9 through verse 20. Genesis 21, verses 9 through verse 20. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as if it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. In these verses, we read of Hagar and her son Ishmael. And what transpired in these verses takes us back to Genesis chapter 16. 10 years before Genesis 16, God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. The problem was child, Sarah, of course, was well past childbearing years. So Sarah came up with the idea that Hagar, their Egyptian maid, would be a surrogate mother for their son. So she encourages Abraham to impregnate Hagar. And from this, of course, came Ishmael, when Abraham was 86 years old. Then we come to Genesis 21, which is 14 years later. So Ishmael at this time is 14 years old. Abraham is now 100 years old. And Abraham and Sarah, his wife, have a son, the promised son, there in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. And in the process of time, we don't know if it was a year, 2 years, or whatever. But in the process of time, Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac, treating Isaac with contempt as his younger brother. And Sarah became infuriated and demanded that Abraham cast out Hagar and her son, Ishmael. We read in verse 14 that Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. From that point to verse 20, we see Hagar in the wilderness of Beersheba. And that's where we want to take our message from. In those verses, we see a wonderful display of God's love, God's care, God's provision. There's much there for encouragement for the child of God. There's much there for instruction for God's people. But we want to take the main thought of the message from something we read in verse 19. And that is, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw." God opened her eyes, and she saw. We want to speak this morning on the subject of the need to see. The need to see. First thing we see is that there was a crisis in the life of Hagar, in the life of Ishmael. There was a drastic change in their circumstances. One day, Hagar and Ishmael had home. They lived there with Abraham and Sarah. Then suddenly, without any warning at all, they are homeless. They had lived with Abraham at this time between 14 and 16 years. And now all of a sudden they are forced to leave their home. They are cast away. They are sent away. And there had been some tense times, no doubt, for them in Abraham's tent. Things had been tense for some time. But things came to a head when Sarah said, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son. I don't want them here anymore. Get rid of them." And we see that this greatly disturbed Abraham. We read that he was distressed there in verse 11. But God intervenes and tells Abraham in verse 12 that this was his plan. This was his plan for Ishmael. This was his plan for Hagar. So he says, "Abraham, go ahead and listen to Sarah. And you go ahead and you send Hagar and your son Ishmael away." And then we read in verse 14 that Abraham rose in the morning, no doubt supplying Hagar and Ishmael with what he thought would be sufficient amount of water and what he thought would be a sufficient amount of bread. We then read in verse 14 that he sent her away and she departed. Can you imagine the effect that this had upon Hagar and Ishmael? We can't even begin to imagine what was going through their minds at this time. Even what was going through the mind of Abraham. But I'm sure that Hagar and Ishmael at this time felt great anger. Wouldn't you? And I'm sure they felt great bitterness and great resentment. Certainly toward Sarah. And probably toward Abraham as well. They felt betrayed. They felt hurt. And they had suffered a great loss as they headed out that day. And it wasn't long that Hagar and Ishmael find themselves in dire straits. Again, in verse 14, after Hagar and Ishmael had been cast aside, after they had been sent away, we read that they wandered in the wilderness. That is, they just kind of meandered around in the wilderness. They roamed in the wilderness. They drifted, and they strayed through the wilderness. What it is telling us is that eventually Hagar and Ishmael lost their way in the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness to no avail. They wandered in the wilderness actually accomplishing nothing and getting nowhere. So we see a mother We see her with her only son wandering in a desert, wandering in a wilderness, from Abraham's tent to a wilderness. Quite a change in circumstances in just one day. Quite a change in just a matter of hours. From Abraham's tent to a dismal wilderness. From Abraham's tent to something very, very grim. Something that was empty and barren. And there's Hagar and Ishmael. They're now isolated from Abraham's tent. And there they are wandering in this wilderness. A place of great restlessness. A place of difficulties. A place of hardships. A place of strains. Cannot imagine the strain that these two were going through at this time. The emotional strain of being cast out. And then the emotional strain of finding yourself lost in a wilderness. And your water is getting less and less as you go. And your food is getting less and less. No doubt they feel abandoned. No doubt they are alone. And no doubt they're very vulnerable at this point in their life. And as they wander through this wilderness, the sun beats down upon them until all their resources are gone. We see that the water in the bottle was all gone. The bread that Abraham had given them was gone. We read in verse 15, the water was spent. That is, all the water had been consumed. All the water had been finished. All the water had been drained from that bottle. And now you have Hagar and Ishmael wandering in a wilderness. The bottle is empty, and I'm sure by this time the bottle is even beginning to slowly fill up with sand. And they're all out of food. And on top of all of this, they're tired and becoming more and more tired every step they take. They are utterly exhausted. And in a matter of time, they're walking turns to stumbling. And they'll pick themselves up and go a few more steps and perhaps stumble again. They're getting to the point where they cannot go on much longer in this condition. And just in our minds, we imagine by this time that their lips are parched. Their lips perhaps are beginning to crack. Their tongues are beginning to swell. And there's no relief. There's no relief in sight. If you look to the north, there's nothing but sand. You look to the south, the east, the west, it doesn't matter. All you see is wilderness. All you see is desert. No matter where you look, everything looked the same. Everything looked hopeless. And there they are, Hagar and Ishmael. Not only homeless, but absolutely hopeless. And Hagar came to the realization that her son, her only son Ishmael, whom she loved dearly, was going to die. And she no doubt would too. But she could see that he was dying of thirst. So she places him under one of the shrubs. The purpose of that was hoping to give him some shade. We read that there in verse 16. Perhaps she sat there with him for a while, but eventually she went a little ways away because she just couldn't stand to see Ishmael die. And there lies Ishmael, probably in a fetal position. He's dying. And there sits Sarah, hair all matted, very, very distraught, filled with despair. And she knew for sure by this time that her son was going to die. So there she sits, exhausted, emotionally drained. Nothing left. All her hope has withered away. And if she looks down at her water bottle, it's empty. It's dry. Again, by this time, no doubt filling up with the blowing sand. And we read there in verse 16 that she sits there crying. We read that she lift up her voice and wept. That is, she sobbed. She's heartbroken. Her whole world has completely fallen apart. Without any advance notice, everything has fallen apart. She is no doubt in a situation that she could not fix. There's nothing she can do. She could not fix the situation that she was in. And there's no relief in sight. She's helpless. And she's hopeless. And we all know, not to this degree, of course, but life can be just like this. You can be enjoying yourselves one moment, and the next the bottom falls out. And you find yourself in a similar situation as Hagar and Ishmael. The truth is, life is filled with hard realities. Life is filled with heartbreaking moments. There's much sorrow. People we love die. Relationships fall apart. Difficulties arise. And sometimes trouble just seems to follow us wherever we go. That's reality. That's not being a pessimist. That's reality. That's what happens. If you live long enough, you're going to experience some trouble. Problems are going to come in our lives. And when they come unwanted. And they come unnoticed or unannounced. But what I want to get to today was Hagar's greatest problem. What was Hagar's greatest problem? The fact is, her biggest problem was not that she had been cast out and sent away. That wasn't her biggest problem. It was a problem. But that wasn't her biggest problem. Now, most of us would dwell upon that. Why, if Sarah would have just kept her mouth shut, I'd still be at home. And if Abraham wouldn't have listened to her, we'd still be at home. But that's not the biggest problem here. The fact that they wandered in the wilderness was not her biggest problem. It was a problem, but it was not her biggest problem. The fact that Ishmael, her only son, was thirsty and their water bottle was empty and he was going to die of thirst, that wasn't her biggest problem. Her biggest problem was not that she was dying. All of these were great sources of trouble. Every one of them. All of these, no doubt, were great troubles. But I contend that none of these were her greatest problem. None of these were her greatest trouble. We discover what her greatest problem was from what God did for her. We read in verse 19, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. God opened her eyes, and she saw. In other words, God opened her eyes and showed her something. This is what God did for her. So there in that hot desert, God opened her eyes and she saw a well. Right where she was, there was a well. And in that well was what she needed. In that well was what her son Ishmael so desperately needed. What she needed was within reach. God already had made provision in the desert for Hagar and Ishmael. God in His grace, God in His mercy, had already prepared for Hagar what she needed. Had already prepared for Ishmael what they needed. So there was Hagar, there was Ishmael, they're both dying, but there was a well. There was a well right there. And as they're both drawing their last breaths, and while Hagar's heart is breaking, the whole time that was going on, the well was right there. Everything that would remedy her problem, all her problems, was right there. Everything she so desperately needed was right there. God opened her eyes. I want to say that Hagar's biggest problem that day was the fact that she could not see. And God fixed that problem by opening her eyes. And while Hagar was going through what you and I would consider a terrible tragedy, there were resources supplied by God, but she couldn't see. That is also true of you and I many times. We go through difficulties, and when we really examine it, the difficulties really is not our problem. The biggest problem many times is that we cannot see what God has provided right in front of us. That's the biggest problem. So, it's not the trial. And we're not minimizing trial. It's not the trial. It's not the difficulty. It's not the desert. It's not the storm that is our biggest problem. These are not the most pressing issues. Even when we're going right in through these things, these are not the most pressing problems. The most pressing problems is our failure to see what God has provided. Hagar could see that she was lost. She could see that she was lost in the wilderness. She could see that. She could see that there was sand everywhere. She could look down and see that her water bottle was empty. She could turn it upside down and perhaps just sand would come out. She could see all of that. She could see it all very clearly. She could look over and she could see Ishmael dying, or she knew that Ishmael was dying of thirst. We don't have any problem seeing these things. Our problem is we don't see what God has provided in the midst of these things. And how many times, oh, we can see the difficulty. I mean, we can describe it in detail. We can see it clearly. We can see the trial. We can describe it. We can give every detail of the trial. We can see the obstacles. Oh, they're so plain. We can see them so very clearly. We can see the emptiness. We can see the weariness. We can feel the heartbreak. But we cannot see the resources that God has put right in front of us. And that is a problem. And we all experience that. Because many times we're in that desert. God has made provision for us. It's right there. But we're blind. We don't see. And there's a lot of reasons that people become blind. Many are blinded by their circumstances. All they can see is their circumstances. All they can talk about, all they can think about is their circumstances. That's all they can see. They're blind to everything else. They're blind to the well that's right in front of them. They're blinded by their circumstances. Many are blinded by their perception. It's simply the way they see things. This blinds them of all that is around them. Many are blinded by anger. Many are blinded by bitterness and resentment. People become angry, and they become so angry, that's all they can see. And God has provided a well. He's placed it right in front of them, but they're so angry they can't see it. They are so filled with bitterness, they are so filled with resentment that they can't see the resources that God has put in front of them. And if anyone had a reason to be angry, if anyone had a reason to be bitter, if anyone had a reason to have resentment, it was Hagar and Ishmael. And you may justify your anger, and you may justify your bitterness, and you may justify your resentment, but guess what? You'll spend the rest of your life in the desert. That'll never get you out of the desert. That'll never get you out of the wilderness. And it'll blind you to what God has placed right in front of you. So we become blinded by many things. Many are blinded by the heat of the moment. Many are blinded by their emotions. Imagine the emotions of Hagar at this time. She'd been cast out. She'd been sent away. She's wandered in the wilderness for who knows how long. Everything is gone, and her son is dying. The emotions that she must have been feeling. I'm sure she went from heartbreak and sorrow to anger and bitterness and resentment. But many are blinded by their emotions. Many are blinded by their grief. God has given us the ability to grieve, and there's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong with sorrowing. But you see, grief becomes a problem when it blinds us. And we're so grieved that we can't even see what the resources that God has put in front of us. So many are blinded by the grief. And the truth is, many are blinded simply because they're self-absorbed. They're just so filled with themselves that they can't see beyond themselves. And they're blinded. But whatever circumstances are right now in each one of our lives, if you cannot see the resources that God has placed right in front of you, that's your biggest problem. That is your greatest problem. That is your most pressing need. Notice what God did for Hagar. He got her attention. There she sits. Again, she's exhausted. She's faint. She's parched with thirst. She's alone. She's powerless. Heart is broken. All she can see is the desert and death. But it was at that moment. It was at that moment when it seemed like it was almost over. And Hagar knew, I can't go any further. It was at that moment that we read the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. In other words, God got her attention. That's what we need today. When we're in a position of trial, when we're in the desert, we need for God to get our attention. Because that's the only thing that's going to get us through. At this time, Hagar had more heartache than she could possibly handle. She had a heavier burden than she could possibly carry. She had a hurt that she in no way could ever mend. And the angel of the Lord called Hagar out of heaven. It was a voice that broke through everything. And it was a voice that spoke directly to her. And he asked her a question. He said, "What aileth thee, Hagar?" In other words, Hagar, what's wrong? What's the matter? That question revealed that God had not lost track of Hagar. And no matter where you are, I assure you today, God has not lost track of you. You may have lost track of God, but He has not lost track of you. So there's Hagar. She wanders till all the food and water are gone. She wanders in that wilderness till all of her strength was gone. She wanders in that wilderness till all of her hope was gone. And her son is at the point of death, but the Lord knew right where she was. And He always does. He always does. She had wandered until she had no earthly idea where she was. If you were to ask Hagar where exactly she was in that wilderness, she could no way tell you. She had no idea. She had wandered so long that she didn't even know where she was. But God knew exactly. God knew exactly where she was. By this time, she had traveled far. She never traveled beyond the watchful eye and care of God. And you may be here today and you may have strayed and you may have wandered, but I guarantee you, you have not dodged God. You may be attempting to do exactly that. You may be attempting to dodge God, but I want to ask you today, where are you going to go? Where He's not. He's everywhere. You cannot dodge the Lord. And when God asked Hagar, "What aileth thee?" He knew every one of her troubles. He knew all the wrong things that she had done, and she had done many. He knew all about her suffering, and He knew exactly why. Why did He ask, "Hagar, what aileth thee?" He wanted her to tell Him. And that's the way the Lord does. The Lord wants us to tell Him. He already knows, but He wants you to tell Him. He wants you to tell Him all the hurt, all the torments that she had endured, all the pain that she was going through, how that all of her plans were ruined and all of her dreams were shattered. He wanted to hear it all. It's no different today. God still wants to hear it all. The Bible does not record Hagar's answer. Can you imagine the story she had to tell? And I imagine she told the Lord. And then the Lord sought to comfort and assure her. He said, Hagar, fear not. Notice verse 17. Look at verse 17. Notice after the question, what aileth thee, Hagar? And then he says, fear not. And here's the reason. For God. It's the only reason you need. Fear not. For God. No need to fear. Because of God. Because God is in control. In all your circumstances, you must not become blind to God. You must not become blind to God. You must not become blind to God's hand. And then we see that God did something for Hagar that would lead to her relief and rescue. God opened her eyes. And she saw a well. Wherever you are today, God has made provision in Christ for you. There is a source of life. There is a source of strength. There is a source of comfort. There is a source of refreshment. But can you see it? Can you see it today? You see, if you can't see that, that's your biggest problem today. No matter what else you're going through, if you cannot see that God has provided a source of everything that you need, and it's right there, can you see that today? Oh, but you don't understand what I'm going through. God has provided a well. God has provided a source for everything that you need. And whatever it is that you're going through, you need to see that today. You need to see the well God has provided. Whatever it is that pains you, whatever it is that troubles you, whatever it is that afflicts you, whatever it is that grieves you, you need to be able to see God's hand. You need to be able to see that God has made provision. So God opened her eyes. And the result is she saw a well. Didn't stop there. And then we read, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink, the best tasting water they ever had at that moment. It was there, but she couldn't see it. God showed her a well, and she went to the well. Filled that dry bottle. There are a lot of people today, a lot of God's people, just like Hagar. They've been wandering in a desert for a long time now. Their water bottle's been empty for quite a while. The food has run out. They're hopeless. They see no hope. They see no end to their affliction. They see no end to their trial. And they've given up and they just wander, or they sit there and they weep. And that is their life. But oh, that God would open your eyes and cause you to see His provision. And then once you see His provision, that you would get up and go to the well and fill that empty water bottle. And drink. That's what we need today. It's not that the well is dry. Your water bottle may be dry, but the well isn't dry. And it's right there. But many do not see it. So, what a need we have to see. It's no wonder that the writer of Hebrews wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we need to learn to look unto Jesus. We need to learn to be able to see what God has provided for us. God has made provision. Whatever wilderness you find yourself in, God has made provision. Even the prodigal son, God had made provision for him. God has already made the provision. But can you see it? Can you see the well? Will you get up and will you go over to the well and fill that empty water bottle? Or you can choose to spend the rest of your days sitting in the wilderness. Oh, if it wasn't for Abraham, I wouldn't be here. If Abraham and Sarah didn't do what they did, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have these circumstances. Now let's be honest. In spite of what Abraham and Sarah did, if you could see the well and if you'd get up and go to it, you wouldn't be there. But you can spend the rest of your life being angry at the Abraham and Sarahs of your life, being bitter with them. Well, God could bless you and open your eyes and you can see His resource right there in front of you. I'm telling you today, God has provided. God has made provision wherever you are. You just need to see it. And then once you see it, it's not going to do you any good to sit back and say, oh, look at that pretty well. Isn't that wonderful? You've got to get up, you've got to take your dry water bottle, and you've got to fill it. And then you've got to drink. And that's how you survive the desert. That's how you survive the wilderness. So wherever you are today, saved, lost, whatever your condition is, God has already made provision for you in Christ. Can you see that today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.